The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of Union Broadcasting, Inc., Hot Talk 1510 KCTE, or its employees. The host is solely responsible for the on-air content.
Welcome to Blended Family Today, the radio outreach of the bonded family. Join our hosts, Dan and Rebecca Snell, as they extend encouragement, hope, and biblical insight to America's stepfamilies. Listen in as they highlight common topics in stepfamily dynamics, answer questions on air, or interview a special guest, author, or family relationship expert. Now, here's Dan and Rebecca with today's message of how God can take a stepfamily from broken to blended to bonded.
In blended family life, there are ups and downs, joys and trials. How we view them, and bigger, how we face them, shows the depth of our love and our faith. Our special guests today, the family of Zig Ziglar, knows a scripture that Zig quotes often, as he knows the Lord provides encouragement in Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Today we visit with an American family loved by God and by millions who are inspired by their life work. We'll hear how each and every day they testify to love.
I will testify to love. I'll be a witness in the silences when words are not enough. With every breath I take, I will give thanks to God above. For as long as I shall live, I will testify to love.
Hello again. Good morning. This is Dan Snell. Welcome to Blended Family Today, the radio outreach of the bonded family. And as always, I am here with my chief counsel, my best friend. And when my phone rings, my Trio 755, it projects on the screen the prettiest girl I ever saw, my bride, Rebecca.
Good morning, honey. How are you? Oh, aren't you excited?
I am blessed beyond anything. God is good. Listen, honey, we know that there's no coincidences with God, right?
Right.
We know that in our family life. And the verse that we opened with, Romans 8:28, happens to be your life verse.
Yes.
And as I was looking at one of the books that we'll touch on today, Embrace the Struggle, in chapter 1, which can be previewed on Simon & Schuster's website, that verse is the first verse that happens to be mentioned in the book. So God is good. Folks, you'll want to stay with us. You'll want to stay with us as we visit with the Ziglar family this morning. It's a special program. You know, I was giving thanks, honey. I was giving thanks this whole week. Our listeners are blessed. And I did a Bible search for give thanks. Mm-hmm. 122 times in the Word of God, it talks about giving thanks to God. So we give thanks today that He's opened up the path to bless our listeners. And indeed, our listeners will be blessed and excited as our guests, Zig Ziglar's children, Tom, Julie, and Julie's husband, Jim, themselves in a blended family are going to be with us.
So. I'm just thankful to God that He has held this family, every member of this family, in the way that He has through the years. But just their walk with Him, their simple walk with the Lord and their trust in Him has encouraged hundreds of thousands and millions of people. Just an amazing family.
If you're listening right now and you know, hey, this is going to be a great program, call your friends wherever they are from sea to shining sea. Have them go to www.1510.com and click the Listen Live button because they will be encouraged and they will find buckets of hope. So get a hold of your friends, encourage them to listen today. Every once in a while, God gives a special purpose to a family, and He creates in them a heart for service. He gives them that gift to inspire people and a nation to reach higher than we thought we ever could. Mm-hmm. Some examples in current times are the Billy Graham family. We've seen the Kennedys and the Bushes in politics. Their families continue to be a part of serving others. And then there was that little guy, honey, which we invest in quite a bit, Sam Walton. You know, the little guy down in Bentonville, Arkansas?
Yes.
His family's done okay for themselves as they've become Fortune One, the biggest retailer in the world. We're excited, folks. Stay tuned as we have a program today where you will find encouragement and hope, and you'll hear insight and wisdom and wit from a family that 24/7 is there to serve people all over the world. You know, we talk about inspiration and motivation and getting people to reach higher than they thought they ever could. It all began in a little town, Yazoo City, Mississippi, as America has heard about so much.
Yes.
It's now one of the most admired and recognized names in the United States, and that's Zig Ziglar.
That's right.
This morning, we have on the line, and we're going to go right to them, we have Tom Ziglar, Julie Ziglar Norman, and Jim Norman. And they're on the line, and we want to say from the heartland of America to Dallas, Texas, Tom and Julie and Jim, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning. How are you?
We're just so excited to be with y'all.
Well, thank you. It's going to be a great program. We certainly know the wonderful things that you all have done. I have a pile of books. I could probably, if I needed to change my tire, the Zig Ziglar books that I have, I could place them under my tire. And I have a Ford Excursion, and I want you guys to know I could probably lift my Ford Excursion off the ground.
Now, I want you to confess right now before the Ziglar family, eBay, you have ordered every Confessions of a Happy Christian. Probably every year that it was published. We have a few of those.
I want you guys to know, and I know you're mentioned in this. In fact, I'm holding, I think it's 1978. Is that right, Tom or Julie? Is that the first time that Confessions of a Happy Christian was published?
Oh, let's see. I think it may have been a little sooner than that. Let me think about it for a minute, Dan.
Oh, no, he's going to go back to eBay.
Yes, I frequently own about 20 copies that I buy on eBay, and I give them with friends because it is one of the finest book to share to someone who's growing in their faith or is trying to discover their faith, and it's just a blessing to give that book out. Sometimes, you know what, I'm figuring that a 99-cent, although it's worth $1 million every book, a 99-cent investment for a used book on eBay will maybe bring $1 million to the heart of someone that I pass it on to.
That's great.
So today, we're going to talk about everything from growing up Ziglar, which I know, Julie, you've talked about. We're going to talk about the book, Embracing the Struggle, which, Julie, you helped co-write. And Tom, I believe you wrote the foreword to that book. Would you guys like to touch on that first?
Sure. Go ahead, Tom. Since you did the foreword, you started it out.
Absolutely. I tell you, we're very thrilled to be on this show today, and I couldn't agree more about giving books off of eBay. Dad says that for every person who he inspires in an event, there's 100 whose lives are changed because they actually read the book or listen to the tapes.
Mm. Mm.
So it's one thing to be inspired. It's another thing to do it over and over again, and that really is just a life lesson that everybody in our family's picked up, is it's the mental application of what you're doing and learning that makes a difference.
Wow.
Embrace the struggle. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago in March, Dad had a pretty tough fall down the stairs. He ended up with a serious head injury and swelling on the brain, hydrocephalus, and that really impacted his balance and his short-term memory.
Wow.
And, you know, Julie will tell you that it was like Dad aged 20 years overnight. He's going to be 83 in November, so he's a young 83 physically.
Yes, he is, yes.
But he'd always been acting like he was in his early 50s.
Well, that's a good era to be in. I can attest to that at 53.
I bet that threw all of you in a real fast, hard loop.
Yeah, it was a tough time and very frightening. And out of that, the family just really came together. And Julie and I had a lot of conversations. And at that time, Dad was writing a book on creativity. And we felt it would be a good book, but not necessarily a life-changing book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Julie said, you know, this book really needs to write a book about what he's going through right now.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I spoke with Dad about it. And out of that, I basically just said, Dad, you know, you're applying every principle in your life right now in the middle of this battle. And there are so many people who are going through their own struggles that, you know, if there was just some way that you could share with them how you're embracing yours, it could really impact them. And he looked at me and he said, "That's it."
Wow.
And I said, "What?" He said, "That's the title." And I said, "What's the title?" And he said, "Embrace the struggle."
I love it, Tom.
I love it. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, that's got to be a moment, special moment for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Julie, then he, I'm sure your dad picks up the phone and says, "Daughter, I want you, as you have already done for many, many books, I want you to help me co-author this and edit it and be the big part of it." So tell us about that call.
Well, actually, I think Tom's the one who called to tell me that Dad had come up with the title. It was very exciting to me because I love writing about being transparent and writing about the things that really are life-changing things. And I knew that the way Dad was dealing with what had happened to him would inspire all the people who'd always thought it was very easy for Zig Ziglar to be optimistic because, you know, he had such a great life, in their opinion. They just couldn't see that he had challenges, even though he was a product of the Depression and he was fatherless. His daddy died when he was 5. Family was very, very poor. He overcame all of that and also living on commission as a young salesman and always was open about exactly what he'd gone through. But he'd just been really blessed for a long time. And so now people actually get to see him getting up and dealing with the challenges that he does have to deal with. But I want to say that Dad knew his memory was so short that he wasn't going to be able to tie everything together. And he insisted on my name being on the book as co-author.
Aww.
And he's so sweet like that.
Wow. You know, Julie, my stepmother suffered a head injury a few years ago. She's like you. She has a great love of horses. And she was helping her friends in a parade, and the rigging between their team of horses and their carriage broke and fell apart and, of course, spooked the horses. And there were about 6 people on the carriage, and my stepmother stayed on to get the little 8-year-old off and a few other people off. What that meant was that she was thrown the furthest and the hardest, and she landed on her head. And there's nothing I've never seen. You know, it just gives you a great respect for the Lord and how he put our mind together and our brain together. I couldn't believe the effect, the huge impact of that head injury. And I can just imagine. It was very frightening for our family. It must have been very frightening for you too. And like you said, to see your father go from acting 50 to aging, you know, so quickly, so fast. That's just amazing. It pulling through that is and writing this book. I can't wait to read this book. When is it coming out again? In November?
Later this October 27th, isn't that the date?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
so
right.
If you're listening out there, you want to be Googling Embrace the Struggle. Or Yahoo, if you prefer Yahoo. Is it Simon and Schuster? Is that correct?
That's correct. It's the Howard is the Christian division of Simon and Schuster.
Okay. Good. And there's a preview of the first chapter, which I read. In fact, that's where I was so touched. I just, as a husband here to this wonderful, Zig refers to your mom, Jean, as the redhead and always pours out his love for her. I feel the same about Rebecca. And to see there in that first chapter that Romans 8:28 was right there prominent, knowing that that's my wife's life verse, I thought, wow, God, you are clever as always. And thank you, Lord, for that.
Julie, you're in a step family, aren't you?
Yes, we sure are.
A blended family. I read a little bit about you and Jim coming together. And Jim, are you still there?
Yes.
I am definitely here.
Ooh, yes. You got a great voice.
Yeah, he does. Jim has a radio program. Jim, good morning. Want to share, you're certainly used to the radio. You have a radio program there in Dallas, don't you? Tell us about that.
Yes, I do. It's a program called Wise People. It's on KDKR-FM on Saturday mornings at 8:30. And I talk about people who have, I interview people who have been through a lot of adversity in their life, hit bottoms, and through faith in the Lord and being obedient, they kind of climb and claw their way out and are now involved in some form of ministry, giving the same things that the Lord gave them back to others. So.
Wow, what a great show.
Yes, yeah, it is. We're visiting with Tom Ziglar, the CEO of Ziglar Corporation, with Julie Ziglar Norman and Jim Norman, her husband, themselves in a blended family. And we're excited because they're going to share not only what it's like to be in the family with Zig Ziglar, an American icon. But also, we're going to talk later in the program about where they see God taking them, that they are a wonderful legacy to a man who's still full of energy, and what their tomorrows hold as they themselves are touched by God, as God is aligning their steps in some mighty work that they can do. Last year, Julie, when you and your dad were here in Kansas City at the Get Motivated, Peter Lowe's Get Motivated conference at the Sprint Center. Do you think if I mention the Sprint Center, honey, a couple times that Sprint will deduct something off our cell phone bill? Sprint, if you're listening, we're mentioning the Sprint Center. But Julie, so many people commented to me this last week about how touching and how powerful it was for your dad sitting there in the chair. I was at the event, and I had to leave because my son, which you would understand, putting our children first, my son had had a knee injury from football, and I had to go to his, have his MRI. And for me, missing Zig Ziglar was a hard thing. And I heard the stories about how touching and how inspirational, even as your dad sat quietly and you interacted with each other. Tom, I know you were involved in that decision, and Julie and all the folks that were involved in that. Tell me how that evolved after the March 2007 fall to have you guys as family members be a part of the Get Motivated conference.
After the fall, we knew that Dad couldn't travel right away. Just because of the after effects of the injury, not knowing exactly what direction it was going to go. But once he got cleared to travel and we realized that his short-term memory was so short and he had vertigo pretty bad, we were talking with Peter Lowe, and Peter is the person who runs Get Motivated seminars.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually recommended doing an interview. And I think, Julie, the first couple of interviews, we had either Krish or Brian, who are two speakers on our team,
sure,
who also speak at these big events.
Oh, sure. I know that.
And they were actually the ones doing the interviews. And then it became clear that it would make a whole lot more sense having a family member. And Julie and I will both tell you that neither one of us ever expected that we would be called up on stage.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think, you were in, was it Buffalo, New York, or somewhere in New York recently, Tom, with your dad? I know there were some pictures on your website. You both have done that.
I've actually done three cities, and Julie's done about, 40 or 50? Or
yeah, at least. More like 60, going on 70 now. So.
Yeah. As a son of a, I grew up in a small town, not unlike Yazoo City, Mississippi. It's called David City, Nebraska. My father was in the community, a leader in a much smaller scale, but community is community, whether it's worldwide or small town USA, and I'm thankful for that. When you are, and Tom, I so admire that you often sign things, proud son of Zig Ziglar. And for every son out there and every father out there, dads, if you're listening, if you're a dad, a stepdad, work to have such a relationship with your son that one day they'll say, I'm the proud son of fill in the blank. And Julie, you talk about growing up Ziglar, and you've done all that. It's just an exciting thing. You know, you guys mentioned Krish Dhanam, and he's a tremendous speaker in his own right. I actually visited with him briefly a while back, and I was sharing a story, and I always like to tell this. I think, Tom, maybe I've mentioned this to you in an email. I like to tease my wife, but in St. Louis, there was a Get Motivated seminar, and so the company I was with, we were over there, and we were staying at the Sheraton, and guess who else was staying at the Sheraton? Your dad. And so early morning after breakfast, we come downstairs. I look out the front door as I'm checking out, and a good friend of mine, Mike McNeil, and we go, Mike, that's Zig. And so, you know, we go, well, God only gives you a few chances in life. And he was all by himself, which amazed me. So we walked out and introduced myself, Mr. Ziglar. Just so admire you. We were talking a little bit about small town upbringing, encouraging people, and all he's done for us. In fact, the Secrets of the Closing the Sale has gotten me a few trips to Hawaii and Mexico and Vienna, Austria, on some President's Club trips. So I said, Mr. Ziglar, would it be okay if I call my wife real fast? Because she won't believe it. So I pick up my cell phone, boom, call my wife, and I say, honey, you're not going to believe this. I'm here right in person with Zig Ziglar. And I say, here you go. And I hand the phone to your dad. And Rebecca, my dear sweet wife, thinking that I'm putting her on because we have a lot of fun together. She says, oh, sure, sure. Yeah, Zig, sure. Good to talk to you. Sure, sure, yeah. Yeah.
And he laughed. He was so sweet. And I thought it was you the whole time.
Yeah. And your dad looked at me and he says, I don't think she believes it's me. And I said, sweet. Well, let's just talk a little more, Zing. And he says, well, how you doing?
He's very sweet.
And so I get the phone back. I said, honey, that was really Zig. And she goes, are you kidding me? So anyway, her one opportunity to say hello to your dad, she thought she was talking.
No, I said hello to him. He
was
very nice.
Enough of that. Your dad's a precious man to me and to many Americans across the land. And obviously you all as a children, as a family, know that. We're talking about blended families on Blended Family Today. And Jim and Julie, you want to share a little bit about your story in your blended family, what you find is the strengths and the foundations of how you've been successful as you've walked through both the joys and the trials in blended family life.
Sure. Julie and I talked about how best to approach the discussion of this, and we decided that we probably ought to start with my story.
Okay.
Because we're sort of double blended in many ways. I'm about 12 years older than Julie, and we had both been married before we met each other. And in my situation, I had married a woman who had also been married before I married her, sort of the state of our nation, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And when I married her, she had two children from her first marriage. One of them was a boy who was 12 who stayed to live with his father, and another child was a girl who was 6 years old, and she lived with us. Then we had twins, boy-girl twins, about a year after we were married. So what I started off with a blended family, and I sort of learned how to be a step-parent on Dee Dee is the girl's name.
Mm-hmm.
When the twins were about 11 and Dee Dee was
19,
I believe, that's when Julie and I got married, and Julie had a six-year-old girl named Amy, and that brought us together. So we had Dee Dee from my first marriage, who I adopted when she was 18.
Wow.
And the twins, who were at that point almost 12 years old, and Amy. So there were some natural children, and then one completely non-blood-related child to either one of us, and Dee Dee, who is now 46, 47 years old. So that was our situation.
Wow.
You know,
that's a unique one.
One of the things that I found the most powerful, or just really struck me, Julie, you wrote on Welcome to Growing Up Ziegler, you talked a little bit about your stepfamily, but one of the things that you said is that from here on out, you'll only hear me refer to my children as my children. Long ago, we made the big step and accepted each other completely. I thought, wow, that's incredible. Having come myself from a blended family, I think that is the big question that the children have, the young adults have, the mom and dad have. Do you accept me completely? Tell me a little bit about that moment, you know, or that time when you just made that big step and just accepted. I mean, boy, Dee Dee and your children, your twins, your little six-year-old Amy, tell me about that.
It was really quite a progression, Rebecca. Dee Dee, the oldest, loved me the first time we met. She's just one of those people who just is love, if you've mm-hmm. ever met anybody like that. And she wanted to quit college and move home to be a part of the family we were starting. Unfortunately, her mother and the twins' mother was a lady who was not well emotionally
mm-hmm.
and had some addiction problems with prescription medication. And she had just not been real available and had not really done mothering per se.
Mm-hmm.
And there I was, somebody who cooked and cleaned. Matter of fact, they mistook me for the housekeeper for the first few months, and I had to tell them what the difference was. Because Jim had always had to hire help in order to get meals cooked and house cleaned and kids driven where they needed to go and that sort of thing. So.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Dee Dee quit school and worked for a year and lived at home so she could experience dinner around the table, is what she called it, with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Our twins are boy-girl twins, Jim and Jenny. And little Jim just always was a sweetheart to me, and our relationship was always just right out front. We've always told each other just how it is and been fine, and it was comfortable from the beginning. But then there was my Jenny,
mm-hmm. uh-huh.
who just really struggled with that transition. Mm-hmm. She
she struggled with who to be faithful to, who to love, and she had some input from her mother that made it even more difficult for her to just kind of blend in.
Mm-hmm.
And so she and my daughter, Amy, had this kind of ongoing thing where Jenny was picking on Amy, and it was just a tough thing. And finally, when Jenny was, I think she was almost 19 or 20, and she had fallen in love and was wanting to cook a meal for the young man that she hoped to be engaged to. And there was something about the kitchen time that had been misunderstood, and that was the thing that kind of got everything in the open. And she just started crying, and she said, "Why have you always this, and why didn't you do this?" And she was comparing herself with our youngest daughter. And everything that was coming out of her mouth were just total misunderstandings. The first thing she said was, "Why didn't you hang the pictures I drew on the refrigerator?"
Oh.
I was devastated, because had I known that wouldn't embarrass her, you know, I would have done that.
Oh.
But when I was 12, I didn't want that kind of thing. And you know how we assume other people want what we want.
Right.
Well, she went down the list, and we cried, and it took about 2 hours. And it was a heated 2 hours of accusations and explanations. And at the end of it, that was it.
Praise
she was
God.
She was mine, and I tell you what, I believe when I'm old, she's going to be the one who visits me in the nursing home the most.
Oh,
praise God.
If I could interject something here,
there
is an environment, most importantly, that you have to create in a blended family that I believe has two characteristics. And one of them is that you never refer to any of your stepchildren as stepchildren. They're your children.
Amen. As we
the second thing is, you have to realize, if you're a step parent, that you will never be the parent of that child. You will never replace the biological parent of that child, regardless of what kind of person they were or anything like that. And the third thing is that you must never utter any negative comment at all about their biological parent, and your spouse must not either. Anytime you talk about the biological parent that's not present, it must be done with love, and it must be done with
respect and honor.
With respect and honor.
Yes.
And that has a long-term relation-building effect in the fact that it allows them to trust you. And trust is the bottom line issue of really blending a family together. They have to feel like they're safe and that it's fair, and that you are the kind of person you say you are, and you do what you say you will do. And if you put those three things together, then you have a real good shot at just having the kind of family we have today.
Yeah, you know, Jim, you're a very wise man. One of the things, too, you know, as a daughter in a blended family, I grew up in a blended family, and you're right, you never do replace the mom or dad. God made you mom, God made you dad. But I will say that my step-parents became for me just as important as my parents. They didn't replace my parents, but they were just as big of a part of my life as my parents were. And today, ironically, I have the traits and characteristics and thought patterns and speech patterns of all of them. So take heart in that, because Julie, those little twins, not little anymore, but Jim and Jenny and Amy and Dee Dee, they will be a blend of the best of all of you. And it looks like to me they have a lot to take in terms of good character.
Let me share, if I could, with you the extent of how healing can progress. When my oldest daughter, Dee Dee's biological father, died about 4 years ago, he actually committed suicide. And she asked me to preach his memorial service.
Oh, wow.
And I was a man who had been a part in disrupting that original family. I mean, if you can just imagine that scene.
Sure.
But he and I had become friends over the years. Then Dee Dee's mother, my ex-wife, died of lung cancer about 2.5 years ago. So that meant both of her biological parents, you know, had now died. And she and my twin children asked me to preach the memorial service at her passing.
Wow.
And that was really, and that was an event, it was like an earthquake, I suppose, because her family was there, all kinds of people from 25 years ago.
Wow.
Who had watched us divorce each other in the midst of a lot of anger and whatnot. And what I was able to do at her service basically was to publicly repent of that divorce. And encourage people to try to work it out because God wants us to be married. He does not want us to be divorced. And I have actually repented of that sin. And I know today that if I had put the effort into that marriage in a godly way, that Julie and I have invested in our marriage today, I may not have wound up divorced.
Yeah, I agree with that, Jim. I think that too, you know, with regard to my own divorce, had God been there the way God is in our marriage, in Dan and I's marriage, we wouldn't have been divorced either. Mm. You know, really making God the focus of your life, the focus of your eyes, your mindset makes it just incredible, powerful difference in a marriage.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you just heard that was Jim Norman, a good word there. Three awesome tips. Jim, Rebecca does in our conferences a session on what children see, feel, and hear, and you just said some powerful things because we encourage it's okay for children to love both homes and to be apart and equally loved. We're going to go to a break here, and when we come back, I got a question, Tom, I want to ask you because you were once called the Harassment Committee of One. Now, who would call you such a thing as that, except I guess it was your dad when you were a young boy of 8, 9, or 10, and so I want to share about that, and then we're going to talk a little bit about Twitter, because, Tom, you are one of the most enjoyable and powerful guys on Twitter.
He is.
And I know the technology that Ziegler Corporation is doing, and we'll come back, and we'll be right back, Blended Family Today. We're here with the Ziegler family, Tom Ziegler and Jim and Julie Ziegler Norman. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Amanda, and for my birthday, I got an amazing wind desk for my room. I really love it. Bob at Red Barn Woodworks built it for me. Bob is the owner. He built us my special desk and some cabinets for my mom. My dad said I'll have that desk forever. If you want to light up your child's eyes with a gift that will last a lifetime, call Red Barn Woodworks at 913-708-3651. That's 913-708-3651. Or find it at thebondedfamily.com.
Are you looking for a church to bring your blended family to? Want to feel truly welcome? First Baptist Church of Raytown is your blended family-friendly home. Look for the tall steeple off of 350 Highway in Raytown. Feel welcome. Sunday services at 9:30 and 11. Fantastic youth programs, special step family Bible studies, and support to serve you. Be welcomed with the love of God. Visit firstbaptistraytown.com. That's firstbaptistraytown.com.
Hello friends, Craig Miller here, and I've got something that every homeowner needs right now, the truth. You need to know the truth about refinancing. Yes, rates have dropped to near record lows, but guess what's at record highs? The points, junk fees, and outrageous costs that are charged to homeowners. That's right, most people pay way too much in closing costs when they refinance. Worse yet, most don't even know how much they paid because many mortgage companies don't properly disclose the costs. Friends, refinancing your home doesn't have to be confusing or intimidating. The bottom line is simple. You need the lowest rate, and as importantly, the lowest costs. That's where I come in. Dial 816-222-2222. My company, First Trust Mortgage, has been a leading mortgage bank for over 20 years, and our commitment to true integrity ensures you get the right loan at the greatest savings. 816-222-2222. Whether you need a purchase, refinance, or debt consolidation loan, do what I've said for years. Call me first or call me last. Just call and compare, and you will discover the difference. Call 816-222-2222. Thanks, and God bless.
Hey, Taylor, what are you doing?
Instant messaging Kelsey.
Do you know that there's something faster and better than instant messaging?
No. What is it?
It's called constant messaging, and you don't even need a computer. In fact, everybody sends constant messages, but not everyone knows how to do it to his or her best advantage.
To learn about constant messaging, call 888-881-1660 or visit OutFluenceOnline.com. Outfluence, the better way to influence.
To any parent, that sweet sound brings joy to our faces as a son or daughter plays their first band instrument. Meyer Music has been bringing smiles to Kansas City families for 42 years. Meyer Music, with three locations in the KC area, works in harmony with all the area school districts, beginning band instruments via their Meyer Music Rent to Learn program or taking a personal music lesson. Meyer Music is the family-oriented place to turn. Visit MeyerMusic.com or call 816-228-5656. Call today. Please tell them the Bonded Family sent you. That's 816-228-5656.
It was simpler back in grade school. If a sports play went wrong, we could simply shout, "Do over," and start again. But what if life goes wrong? The good news is that God loves you and do-overs. He planned to give each of us a fresh start in life. With the love and favor of God, each day can be a new beginning. To learn more, purchase and read Dr. Dan Erickson's latest book, God Loves Do-Overs, at thebondedfamily.com.
There are days when I feel the best of me is ready to.
We're back with Blended Family Today, the radio outreach of the Bonded Family Ministry. Happy Sunday to everybody listening. That song, "There Are Days When the Best of Me," and all across America for many, many years, the best of me has been encouraged by a man, Zig Ziglar, and we're on the program today with his son, Tom, the CEO of Ziglar Corp, and Jim Norman and Julie Ziglar Norman, themselves in a blended family. We are so excited. We'll give this at the end of the show, but Jim himself has an organization. You could go to resultspower.com. Is that correct, Jim? Resultspower.com?
That's correct.
And Julie Ziglar Norman has a website. And, of course, Tom Ziglar. I so enjoy, Tom, your blogs, and I especially enjoy your tweets on Twitter. And I want to give a shout out right now. I'm going to tell you, Tom, I know you have literally over 25,000 followers on Twitter. And right now I happen to be on Twitter, so I want to give a shout out somewhere in America to Tina Williams and to NWMTN Gal, because, and also you, Tom, thanks, because as we're here live this hour on Twitter, people are following you, Tom, and then praise God, they're also giving us a shout out because they're telling people to listen. They're listening live. So the power of technology, I know it's something that the last few years that the Ziglar Corporation has really embarked on with some of the incredible resources that you have. Tom, before we talk about you being the harassment committee of one, as your dad called you many years ago, tell us about technology and where Ziglar Corporation is going under your good leadership.
Sure, absolutely. Well, one of the things you've got to understand about Dad's message is that the reason it works is because it's right out of the Bible.
Amen. Mm.
Right. So that's timeless. Dad's just had a gift of being able to explain in a timely way, the way an audience wants to hear it, God's principles. And whether he's quoting scripture or not, people realize it's truth and they follow it back and they find the source of that truth. And so when we talk about his kids, how great it is to have Dad being so transparent, I think what we really mean is that when you live a transparent life, people see right through you the one who created you.
Amen.
And that's what you really want. So in social media and Twitter and Facebook and all those different things, all we're doing is we're taking this great technology to get the word out. Nothing's really more powerful than Zig quotes.
That's right.
I think somehow, some way, Dad knew, you know, 30 or 40 years ago when he was coming up with these one-liners, that a thing called Twitter would exist.
Yeah. He was made for those 140 characters, wasn't he?
I know. It's like all the great quotes are 140 characters or less. And that's because you can remember them. And his dad always said that people say they don't read the Bible because they don't understand it. And he always says it's the part they do understand that bothers them.
Yes, amen to that.
I think go ahead, Tom. Sorry.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I think your father came by it honestly. Was it your grandfather who called your father Cup?
Oh, no, that's the story of Uncle Bernie.
Oh,
and that's
Uncle Bernie.
Actually Tom's story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, see, it's all through the family. Where there is struggle, there is life. Who said that?
That is Uncle Bernie.
Uh-huh.
And this is a great story. Uncle Bernie is just a few years younger than Dad. He's from Canada. He's a Jewish man. We call him Uncle Bernie because that's who he is.
Uh-huh.
We've adopted him.
Uh-huh.
And when he was, I guess right after I was born, 1965, is when Dad and Uncle Bernie got together. Uncle Bernie was the first man who told Dad that he could be a champion speaker. A friendship and a bonding happened at that point, and he's been a constant in our lives.
Wow.
Just an incredible source of inspiration. Uncle Bernie came for my niece Catherine's wedding a few years ago, and this is soon after Dad's fall.
Mm-hmm.
And at that wedding, I had the chance to take Uncle Bernie back to the airport, and we talked. And he told me a story when he was growing up. And he grew up on a farm in Canada. And so you can imagine a place of very cold.
Yes.
Yeah.
And when he was 5 or 6 years old, his father came in and said, in the middle of the night, we need to go down to the barn. The mare is fixing to have a foal.
Okay.
And so they went down to the barn, and there was difficulty, and the father had to reach in and turn the foal, and mm-hmm. and finally the foal was born, and the foal was trying to stand up, as you know. As the foal was standing up, Uncle Bernie's father said, Cup. That was his nickname for him, and Cup means kind of the smart one.
Okay.
And, okay, so that's where that comes from. And he says, Cup, what do you see? And he says, Dad, I see a baby horse trying to stand up. He says, Cup, what do you see? He says, well, I see him struggling to stand up. And he says, Cup, what do you see? And he says, I see the mama licking the baby, encouraging the baby to stand up.
Mm.
He said, Cup, what does that mean? And he said, I don't know, Daddy. His father said, Cup, that means where there's struggle, there's life.
Ooh. And that was said then, and now we're going to have a book, Embrace the Struggle. Wow.
Exactly.
Whew!
And
God
so,
knows.
So what Uncle Bernie was telling us was we needed to really encourage Dad and anybody to embrace whatever struggle there is, because with struggle, there's life.
Mm.
It's when you give up that things go wrong. And Dad's personal struggle with the head injury and all, the natural tendency of families is when something like that happens is they withdraw.
Yes.
Or they hide, or they try to cover it up, when actually the brain needs exactly the opposite. You know, you need to get out more, you need to socialize more, you need to do all those things.
Right.
And so many people and families have challenges, and rather than seek guidance and support and somebody else to carry the load, they just withdraw. And that's exactly the opposite. God didn't build us that way.
That's right. I have a mind picture right now of your dad on a stage with a pump. And just as you were saying, you got to get the water flowing again. When something like that happens, you got to trust God. You got to prime the pump and pumping faster and getting going. It's just like Zig would do on a stage. I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
Oh, no, honey.
But sorry. Jeez, my wife's embarrassed now. Nationally, I'm embarrassed. But listen, Tom, let me ask you this real quick. It was so neat you shared where your father's foundation was.
I have one question. Tom, the word cup, is that the German word K-O-P-F for head?
It's German. It's uh-huh. also, there's a Yiddish variation, and Uncle Bernie's Jewish, and in that tradition, the firstborn son is considered, you know, they inherit
okay.
all everything.
Uh-huh.
And so cup can mean favored or firstborn son, head, smartest.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's neat. Okay. Sorry,
so,
I just need them.
Quick question here, Tom. I'm going to tease you a little bit, but you talked about your father's faith here, and in this book, I encourage everybody to pick this up, whether they can find it on eBay or whatever, Confessions of a Happy Christian. So from this book to the new book to See You at the Top to Raising Positive Kids in a Negative World to Zig's Autobiography, I got all these books around me, Over the Top, Secrets of Closing the Sale, but in this Confessions of a Happy Christian, Chapter 6. Your dad writes, I'm convinced when I made my commitment to Jesus Christ, he immediately appointed my son, Tom, as a harassment committee of one to make absolutely certain I kept that commitment. I'm grateful he did. So tell us about that, Tom. You were what, just a young boy, and you were on a trip. I think he talks about going to Corpus Christi, as I recall. Tell us about you being the harassment committee of one.
Well,
I believe that was 1972, 1973. I was seven. Dad had just accepted Christ, and I followed very soon after that. In fact, we were baptized together.
Wow.
For some reason, I just had this insatiable desire to hear Bible stories, and I was constantly pestering Dad to read me Bible stories, and he had gotten a Bible story book, David and Goliath and Noah and the Ark, and, you know, all the miracles of Jesus. And
yeah.
So every night before bed, he'd read it to me, and then on this trip that he was talking about, I was actually pestering him so much that Mom would drive, and he would read the stories to me as we were going down the road.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously, the Holy Spirit was involved in that, and oh. Dad says, he said, I was smart, but I just wasn't that smart.
Yeah, you were teaching him. Yeah, you'd mentioned, and it's in the book, folks. You got to get this. Even it's a classic, talking about David and Goliath. And your dad said, yeah, your little David was brave, all right. And you said, no, Goliath is the brave one. And your dad said, what? And he says, well, Goliath was big, but David had God with him.
It's
that's a
powerful
yeah. message.
And Dad's famous one-liner about that is the children of Israel figured that Goliath was too big to hit, and David figured Goliath was too big to miss.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
And just some background on that is Confessions of a Happy Christian was actually written for my sister Susie.
Yes.
Because Susie was not a believer, and God used that book to help Susie, and Susie became a Christian. In fact, and Julie will probably agree, we always looked at her as kind of the wise one and from a spiritual perspective of just getting it. And later on, Susie died 14 years ago.
Yes.
And, of course, anybody who's watched their parent lose a child, that is the struggle of of just an untold magnitude. And then later Dad wrote Confessions of a Grieving Christian.
Yes.
And that book has probably had more profound impact on lives than just about any book he's written, because it was written out of his grief and through his grief.
Yes.
Recalled into a very, I mean, the world is not a pleasant place, and there are trials and struggles constantly. And like Dad says, are you going to respond or react when things go wrong? And even if you respond, it doesn't absolve the grief. You still have to go through it.
That's right.
And so there's just, you can see the scarlet thread, or you can just see God's hand in Dad's life. And it really just, with him, once he became a Christian, he just turned his life over. He's been an example of a life of obedience and availability.
Well, God has just used him mightily. He is his shining countenance and his words. He's just encouraged millions worldwide.
And he's just the perfect picture of that Bible verse, all things, not some things, not a few things, all things work toward good to those who love the Lord and are called according to his purposes.
Amen. Amen. We're slowly winding down, and there's so much more we'd love to visit, especially all three of you, each all unique
each,
testimonies.
Each one of them is powerhouse.
A father yeah, here on yeah. earth and a father in heaven that you look up. The great thing, as your dad always says, is we will see you at the top. We will all be together in heaven, and we'll have a long, long time to converse on all of these things. But as we go, just real quick, if you could, Julie, tell us about any way if people wanted to reach out to you and Jim and Tom the same as we're winding down here.
Okay. Well, the best place to reach me is at growingupzigler.com, and you can see what's going on with my ministry there.
Fantastic. Yeah, Tom, I know you have a blog, TomZigler.com. Follow you on Twitter, Tom Ziegler, right now. I hope this morning and this week all across America, everybody's going to Tom Ziegler on Twitter, because you do share your dad's wisdom throughout the week. And there's these new, which I love, these new Twitter movies. Somebody is producing these Twitter movies, these Ziegler Twitter movies, which are both your dad and you. Special thing.
Yeah, the Twitter movie's kind of cool. If you go to @TomZigler and look at my timeline, you'll see links to it.
Yeah.
I send it out regularly. The other thing I would say is if you go to Ziegler.com, which is our corporate website, there's a free button on the top. Click that free button. You can get the Ziegler newsletter. And then we have Faith Daily, which is another Ziegler newsletter. And then we have two audio downloads, The Spiritual Journey and Biscuits, Fleas, and Pump Handles.
Yes.
And also the little book of big quotes.
Yeah. Powerful stuff. That
and
music.
Jim, how do we get in touch with you, Jim?
Oh, it doesn't matter. Just go to Julie's Growing Up Ziegler site. That's also her blog.
Okay.
And that's really what people need to focus on.
Well, from Dallas, Texas to Kansas City to every corner of America, we always end our program in prayer. And so if you would there in Dallas, as we will here, we'll just close our eyes and ask the Lord to bless someone out there. Heavenly Father, somewhere in America or somewhere in the world, people are listening. And we just pray that you touch a life as you've touched people through this family. Lord, this morning as the moon was setting, a full moon in the west, and the sun was rising in the east, I thought of your word in Psalm 103, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And Lord, you are a God of second chances, and you have blessed this family, and you have mighty work ahead. And so I pray that you bless our listeners as they learn further how to testify to love. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you looking for a church to bring your blended family to? Want to feel truly welcome? First Baptist Church of Raytown is your blended family-friendly home. Look for the tall steeple off of 350 Highway in Raytown. Feel welcome. Sunday services at 9:30 and 11. Fantastic youth programs, special step family Bible studies, and support to serve you. Be welcomed with the love of God. Visit FirstBaptistRaytown.com. That's FirstBaptistRaytown.com.
As we wind down today's program, we'd like to say a special thank you for listening. We hope you were encouraged and that your spirit was blessed by the discussion and topic today. To obtain a free copy of today's program, a podcast is available by going to TheBondedFamily.com and clicking on the Radio Ministry Archives button. Please check out the helpful books, CDs, and other items on our resource page. You can help the work of the ministry by taking a quick, easy-to-complete survey. And if you'd like to see and hear Dan or Rebecca in person, learn how to bring a B3 conference from broken to blended to bonded to your church or community. Write us at info@thebondedfamily.com. That's info@thebondedfamily.com.